Man, you guys know how to put a brother to sleep. That food was amazing. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate all the sweets and pies, especially. That being said, turn your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Aha. 1 Peter chapter 3. At this point in time, the writer here has written to the Christians who are scattered abroad. Now, we have to remember that during this time, there was a rise of great persecution that had begun to spread across many areas. And in these areas, there were faithful brethren that were scattered everywhere in different places. So, if you notice in 1 Peter 1, 1, Peter and Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. So there's five places that Peter is writing to, and all these people were scattered. By the way, they're Christians, and they love God. We know this because Peter says, hey, to the brethren who are at all these places. With that being said, in this encouraging letter here, Peter is encouraging God's children to be ready for battle. Be ready. Here's why. First of all, let us understand that God's children should always be ready. We always should be ready and prepared, according to 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope with meekness and fear. There's going to come a time in our lives when someone is going to ask the question, why are you a Christian? Why do I have to be baptized? I thought all I had to do was say the sinner's prayer. Why is it that I have to go to church? I mean, doesn't God love me for who I am? Isn't He an all-loving God after all? I mean, God's in my heart. I don't have to go to church. Do I? These things will cause us to think as Christians, and guess what? We must be ready. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 in consideration. First of all, Christians should be ready to serve God. Christians should be ready to serve God. God, in the establishing of the one true church, set in place a structure of teachers. We addressed this idea this morning. And it gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature that is in the fullness of Christ. I'm not perfect, guys. We cannot use that as an excuse to sin. What does the text say? Look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Let's read that again. And He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a imperfect man? A perfect man. Christ expects us to strive towards being perfected. True, we may not be perfect right now, but He's never told us that we couldn't work towards a goal. We all can choose to work towards our goal in becoming that perfect person that Christ knows we can be, and those who were at Ephesus, even after they received this letter, they understood a basic principle. We can work towards a goal, guys. We can work towards becoming perfected. Do we honestly think God would set us up for failure if we couldn't do so? If God tells us we can do something, guess what? We can do it. Why think any otherwise? The establishment of the one true church required servants amongst those individuals were men of renown and men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit beyond our imaginations, things that they could do, there's no way we could do them today, such as speak Japanese without even ever studying it, things of that nature. However, we have something a little better. We have the complete Word of God. See, the apostles did not have the complete Word of God. The prophets did not have the complete Word of God, but we do. And God's Word can tell us how we can be servants. Even though we may not have those things as the apostles did, we must consider that we have the ability to do something. And that is to serve God. Sorry if the text is too small. With that being said, we cannot exclude ourselves from God's service, and we cannot make excuses up for not serving God. We can work together on this endeavor. We as God's children must be ready to serve as instructed by God's Word. We learn this in 1 Peter 1:13. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 1:13, please. Don't believe every word Kyle says. Let's read the Bible together. Right? Let us consider what the Bible has to say. Notice, wherefore, gird up thy loins, the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, take into account now what we are addressing. We are addressing that a Christian must be always ready to serve God. In that service to God, when the time comes, we must be ready to act in that service. The text is literally saying, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds to be self-controlled and set your hope on God. Do not conform to evil desires, but be holy, and be holy. We must always be ready for action, especially when it comes to spiritual battle. You come across a family member that you've been trying so hard to work with, and it finally comes to a point where you have to tell them, I'm sorry, I can no longer have you in my life. Well, why would we say such a thing? Because there comes a time when we too have to begin to examine our souls. Because we wouldn't want to be dragged down by anybody. That doesn't mean give up on them. That simply means that we are to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And if someone asks us, why are you a Christian? Well, should we not have a ready answer? Well, surely. The key to motivation when it comes to serving Christ any way we can is when we consider who we are serving. When we think about doing things for Christ on earth, let's not forget what He has done for us. Let's not forget what He has asked of us. And let us not forget who sent His Son to die for us. This can be motivation when it comes to our service to God. True, everybody's not a preacher. True, everybody's not an elder. True, everybody's not a deacon. But we all have lips with tongues, and we can talk, and we can dial a phone number, and we can call and encourage somebody, can we not? We can write a letter, right? If we see a visitor come in the door, we don't know who they are, let's go to them and introduce ourselves to them and begin a process of what? Service. It starts with you and I, brethren. Again, the body of Christ cannot grow from the outside in, but only from the inside out. And it starts all the way down to the first person, you and I. Secondly, when it comes to being at the ready, a Christian must be ready to speak the truth. Notice 1 Peter 3:15. People who live in sin with the intent to remove God from the world will ask us, why are we even serving God in the first place? When this happens, we must be ready to answer them with a biblical answer. We know this because 1 Peter 3:15 tells us this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. There may come a time where we may be shook up by the world and we may begin to question what we believe. And when that happens, guess what? We're going to have an answer. Why? Because we're following God's word. That's why we're going to have an answer. Ultimately, it comes down to what you and I wish to do in the service to our Creator. The defense of the gospel is to be made with meekness and fear, and when called on to justify the position of the truth, Christians are to do so with reason and logic, not with anger and foolishness. That's the world. But a Christian is to reflect Christ in reason and logic. Is that not what Paul did as tradition? When he went to the synagogues, he reasoned with them. We see that he reasoned before his death, before the people at Rome. What did Felix say? Thou almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian, right? But too bad, Paul, I'm not going to be a Christian today. Let's think about that for a moment. Not even Paul could persuade Felix to be a Christian. Let's not beat ourselves up. We can stand up for what is right at the right time with logic and reason and love. People may ask the question, why are you a Christian? Why do you go to church? Why do you need to be baptized? Why do you believe in God in the first place? We must be ready to answer them. 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells us that the meekness and fear must not be excluded in our daily routine, but instead, we must try our best to know that there are people in the world who will heap unto themselves false teachers. We must be ready at all times to defend the faith. Notice what the text says, please. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full of proof of thy ministry. What is this text only applicable to a gospel preacher? No, sir, no, ma'am. Are we not all always to preach the word? Are we not all always to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine? We all should have these qualities. It may take some time, but it's something we all can do. Be prepared at all turns of our lives to stand up for God. Because remember, he stood up for us. Think about it, back to Stephen as we were talking about this morning. What does Stephen say? And I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, before he left this earth, said, I go to sit on the right hand of my Father. But Stephen said he saw him standing. Jesus will stand up for us when we are being persecuted. And that's exactly what he did for Stephen, and that's what he will do also for you and I. We simply have to choose to serve him in the capacity that we can. The preparation that is needed to defend the faith can be found in the scriptures. If we are to serve God in the capacity that we can, we must also understand that a Christian must be ready to face temptation. A Christian must always be ready to face temptation. Matthew 26:41. As Jesus was praying in the garden, he gave great warning concerning a certain something that starts with a T and ends with ation. Temptation. Notice what the text says. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What does it mean to watch and to pray? It means to be alert, be ready. Is that not true? Think about it. In times past, when you had great walls and kingdoms, they had what sitting on top of the walls? Looking out over the lands. Guards. They were called watchmen. And what would they do at the first sight of danger? They would ring the bells. Are there any more watchmen on the world? Are we going to be watchmen? Not only for our own souls, but for humanity itself. Now consider this. If we are Christians, it's our responsibility to be watchmen. Jesus was the king who came to tell us that he needed watchmen. Ultimately, a servant is someone who will ask God for help. And God may answer us in a way that we do not like. However, we simply must understand that God doesn't always answer us the way we want him to. If we are willing to face temptation head on, Christ will hold our hand all the way. Just because we face temptation doesn't mean we have to give in to temptation. Aha, there's a difference. We can yield to that temptation. We can walk away from that temptation, can we not? So that means we have done what? We've made a conscious decision not to sin. That also means what? That we can choose not to sin and remain free from sin if we choose to now. True, there may be times where we do stumble. That's where it comes into play. Oh, well, I'm not perfect. We can't use that as an excuse. We have to remember that there is a great God watching everything you and I do. It is easy to give up when the hard times come. But anything that is hard to do is worth doing, especially being a Christian. As we are considering this, notice Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2. When we have hit the crossroad in our lives where we have to make a decision on whether or not we want to quit on Christ or not, let us consider this. Notice what is said here in Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Whenever those hard times come and temptation has reared its ugly head towards us, pray. As soon as David realized who it was that took the ewe lamb of the man, as David was telling him that story, Nathan said, "Who was the man that was wrong?" David said, "The one that stole the ewe lamb. Thou art the man, David." What did David do? He immediately went and worshiped God during the hard times. How do we respond? Do we respond in anger? Maybe sadness, maybe depression? When instead, let us respond in prayer, knowing that we can face temptation and overcome it because of the God that we serve. For someone to continue in prayer requires a steadfastness in our attitudes and a choice routine. It may take time for us to develop this routine, but it is something that we can definitely do. It's something we have to consciously make a decision on. When we get up in the morning, pray. Or when you get in your vehicle, pray. Write you a little sticky note. You need to pray today. There is always a time that we can pray. There's no excuse. The only excuse that we can give is our own selfishness not to do these things. And yes, I say we. I'm including Kyle too now. Because we all need to work together to inherit the kingdom of glory. So guess what that also means? Consider this. A Christian must be ready to face death. Because if we fall into that temptation and we wrestle with that temptation and give in to it, what have we done? We have sinned against God. So are we ready to face death? Notice Acts 21:13. Acts 21:13. As a child of the mighty God, we must always remind ourselves that we are just passing through this world. This is a very temporary state that we are in. Will not last forever. Paul answered and said this, "What mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ." Paul said, "Man, why are you guys crying? You're breaking my heart. I'm ready to die for the Lord. I'm ready to die for him at Jerusalem." Should not all Christians have that same attitude every day of our lives? True, that is a very scary thought. Don't get me wrong. It even scares me. Nonetheless, though, we do not know how much longer we have in this world. So why not live it in service to God and try our best to do what God wants us to do? This should cause us to think that our lives are very delicate and they're not permanent. We should look at Paul and look at his attitude and understand that we can live by example. You know where Paul got his example from? Jesus. We too should do the same. Jesus, the greatest individual that has ever faced death, he faced it head on in full assurance. Notice Luke 23:34-35. Luke 23:34-35. Jesus gave us the greatest example that we could ever follow when it comes to facing death. He did not curse. He did not give up. He did not punch people in the face. He wasn't angry. Instead, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him juried him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." They said that to our Lord. Now, do we think we have it tough? We ain't got it nowhere near close as to what Christ had. But here's what we do have: the moment. We can seize the moment now to serve God now. Are we willing to be ready today so that we can be prepared for the judgment? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. This is what Jesus has done for you and I. He has made it possible to bring us in union with the Father. And we are not worth it. But Jesus thought we were. That's why he came to this earth to suffer for you and I. Are we willing to serve him, live for him, and love him? As God's children, we must always remember that we have an opportunity to serve, we have an opportunity to love him, and we have an opportunity to tell others about Christ. If you're here this evening, maybe there are some things that are going on in your life that no one here knows about. Maybe you are greatly struggling and you need help. Well, guess what? We're here to help you. Let us never be ashamed to ask for help when it comes to our souls. Why? Because our souls are literally on the line. A friend once asked me, "Kyle, why do you think God hasn't come back?" I think he just wants to give us all another chance. Tonight is another chance, is it not? If we truly want to serve God, let us do it in the full capacity that he knows we can. Do you believe in God? Well, guess what? He believes in you. He believes in me. Let's not prove him wrong, but instead love him and trust in him and rely on his strength. If there's anyone here this evening and you may have sin in your life, you may have some issues in your life that you need help with, we're all here to help you. We will rally around you together as your brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what we're here for. If there's anyone here this evening and you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.